Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, I welcome Courtney Bentley, one of my, I'm just going to say it, she's one of my new favorite BFFs. I'm calling her my BFF already, even though we kind of just, air quotes, met recording this show. I just adore this bundle of energy. She's so cute, so vivacious, so passionate about helping others. I'm just so impressed and wowed by her. And this interview, it was a joy. I mean, I just came away from it and we were kind of co-gushing on each other on Instagram, like, you're awesome. No, you're awesome. No, you're awesome. Okay, that was cheesy, but I don't care. I'm owning it. And that was part of, honestly, that's actually a good segue to what the topic of this show is about. We're talking about this epidemic, for lack of a better way of saying it, of self-hate that permeates a lot, sadly, of the fitness space, particularly with women. Those of you that are listening might be going, self-hate, what's that all about? If you want to call it self-loathing, if you want to call it lack of confidence, if you want to call it bad body image, whatever you want to call it, body dysmorphia, all those things probably overlap. There really is, sadly, a strong tendency once you start pursuing, or even maybe before you've even started it, but once you start pursuing a fitness lifestyle, it can be so easy for women in particular. And I should also note, this is also happening in the male space. You know, I'm hearing more men that are writing in going, hey, it's not just for women who have body issues, who are insecure. It's one thing to be insecure. It's another thing to really self-sabotage your efforts because you're spending so much of your time beating yourself up, talking down to yourself, discouraging yourself, berating yourself, picking yourself apart in the mirror. And this is more common than you think. And not only is it destructive, but it really will have tangible results, meaning lack of results, or maybe the opposite results that you're looking to achieve in the gym. So in other words, if you're looking to lose weight, build muscle, get lean, if you are constantly picking yourself apart and discouraging yourself and filling up your days and nights with self-loathing and self-hate, honestly, you'll probably end up achieving far less than you ever want, than you could want to achieve, but you're also potentially going to set yourself on the road to achieving the opposite. You know, it could be that you start gaining weight. I mean, when you're constantly fueling your brain with negativity and hate, which many of us don't think that we're doing, but if we heard ourselves saying out loud what we're letting go on in our minds, somebody would probably come up and go, how can you talk to yourself that way? And if we heard ourselves saying out loud what we're saying, again, inside our brains, inside of our deepest consciousness, if we heard somebody else saying that to somebody else, we would be appalled. And yet it's happening within our conscious mind or our subconscious mind all the time. And it is extremely harmful. This was a really good starter conversation. And I say a starter conversation with Courtney because I'm going to have her back on the show. I know that this is something I need to deal with personally. A lot of people think that I'm very confident. I'm incredibly insecure. I have been guilty of self-loathing and self-hate more than you can imagine. It's not something I'm proud to share, but I'm sharing it because as I become better at loving myself and respecting myself and treating myself the way I would treat other people, my life is changing. My results in the gym are changing. Everything is changing. And this is part of a mindset change that can have a huge impact in your life. And so, again, without me going too far gone on this intro to Courtney, I just want to encourage you to really sit back and listen because, trust me, if you even think you're giving yourself an ounce of self-loathing or self-hate or that you're potentially way too negative with yourself and with your body image, please sit down and listen to the show. We will definitely be discussing this, not only with Courtney, but with other guests and with other interviews of, I've got Marissa who works for Fitfluential. She's going to be interviewed on the show next week. And we're talking a lot about not only negative body image, but kind of just letting that negative body image or negative self-talk transition into obsessing about food and working out, and how when you change your attitude, everything can change for the better. You're really going to hear from a lot of people who have recognized this in themselves, made changes, and then again, like I said, everything transforms for the better. Really important that we talk about this, make it easier to talk about, easier to recognize, and easier to change. So again, you're going to love this interview with Courtney. You're also going to love looking her up online. She has an outstanding social media presence. She's got a great website. Just a little clip from her bio that she has on her about page. And this is in her words. She says, in the last 11 years, I have been a recurring contributor to CBS Channel 8 in Las Vegas now. She's spoken at Pechacucha. I hope I said that correctly. I don't know what that is, but it sounds cool. Appeared on Leading Las Vegas. She's worked with companies like eHow.com, Lorna Jane, West Elm, Gypsy 5, and many more to share her mission, share my mission. Again, this is in her words, to inspire other women to step out of their limiting beliefs and into the fit, fierce, and fabulous lifestyle they deserve. My podcast entitled Fit, Fierce, and Fabulous has been on number one on the iTunes charts, and I use this platform to connect and create those conversations that need to be had. I definitely encourage you to tune into her podcast. I subscribed after this interview, and I can't wait to have her back on the show. I'm going to be on her show as well. I think she's fantastic, and I can't wait for you to let us know what you think of this interview and what you think of Courtney. I know you'll fall in love with her just like I did. I think she's a wonderful human being. I want you to sit back, get yourself a cup of coffee, get yourself a matcha latte, and enjoy. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa, and today on the show, I feel like I'm introducing my best friend, because in the past 15 minutes, just she and I chatting before we started recording, I feel like I know this girl. I shouldn't call you a girl. I feel like I know this woman. Like, we go way back. And so Courtney Bentley is here today, live from, I believe, Las Vegas. Yes. Courtney, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. What a beautiful introduction.
I think you're, seriously, I'm just letting you know that we've become best friends.
Well, anytime you're in Vegas, we can hike Red Rock, we can have some fun. So,
champagne definitely has to happen. It's my favorite thing for me. And also, it's funny that you brought up hiking. I won't go down digression road too long on this, but my fitness and my life, like, my eyes have been opened. And 2 or 3 years ago, if you would have said hiking to me, I would have been on this end going, oh my God, she's so, because I was so not the outdoorsy girl. I've become so outdoorsy, and I just can't wait to do more biking and hiking. My man friend and I were talking about all of this. So, yes, doing the hiking thing really appeals to me, and I will totally take you up on that.
Yeah. And you know what? Just getting outside, because you and I both work at our desk. Mm-hmm. It's nice to get outside.
Amen.
Feel
Amen
that peace.
To that.
Yeah.
Fresh air is a beautiful thing. Well, let's dive in. Sure. Clearly, like I said, I'm going to make sure, especially with you, that I watch the talk, because this could be, you know, you remind me a lot of when I had Heidi Powell on the show. Like, she and I'm like, oh my God, I need to watch the clock, because we could talk all day. And I'm certain that people that are listening were like, these two ladies could really talk. So I kind of feel that with you as well. So.
Oh, I love Heidi. I love her stuff. So thank you for that.
Isn't she? She's just adorable.
She's so fun.
Love her. One tiny little slight digression, but watching Heidi Powell's transformation from kind of when, and it's so intriguing to me that when she was doing like CrossFit, she was this, and I love her to death, so I feel comfortable saying this, she was this scrawny little thing, you know, like, put some meat on her bones. And now she's really developed a really nice, solid, beautiful physique, put some weight on. And I mean, she looks so much better.
It's amazing. She looks amazing.
Ugh. So
Yeah, good on her. And she and her husband are just ridiculously cute. Okay, I'm going off on a tangent. Reel it in, Kelly. Reel it in. Okay, we're going to start. It's your first time on Fitfluential Radio. Whenever I have a guest on the show, the first time, I always like to ask, you know, for you, when and why did you start, for lack of a better way of saying it, leading a healthy lifestyle or becoming interested in fitness? It's a two-part question. When yes. was it and why? And then the second part is, when did you really find your groove? When did you find your fitness where you're like, okay, this is what works for me. This is what's sustainable. And it's my fitness happy place.
Okay. So I had an eating disorder. I was bulimic from 16 to 23. And I had been a ballerina my whole life, cheerleader in high school. So I've always been active. And as I was growing up, I was starting to become this active person to be skinny, this active person to lose weight, this active person to work off what I just ate, and not for the fulfillment of being empowered by my body. And that transition happened when my husband, who's now my husband, he was my boyfriend at the time. And as you ladies know, when you meet someone that you're interested in, suddenly things you weren't exploring before, you start exploring, right? You like someone, so you're like, oh, they really like MMA. What is this MMA? You know, you start kind of getting into things that you may have not ever been interested in.
Yep.
And he went to the gym every day. So I was like, well, I guess I'm going to the gym. And we went to the gym and he taught me how to lift weights. Now, at the time, Kelly, seriously, I was like into Tracy Anderson, the Tracy Anderson method, which she's fabulous. But I was like, he handed me a 5-pound dumbbell and I thought I was going to die. I was like, oh no, I am not getting bulky. I'm not touching that weight. I'm like, get that thing away from me. And he was like, just try it. Like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? And I was like, yeah, I guess he's right. You know, of course, I like him. So I'm like, okay.
Were you twirling your hair when you said that? Like,
pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much. So I started lifting weights with him. And about 2 weeks in, I'll never forget this, because I was still bulimic, because I still had my eating disorder, I started feeling really, really weak. And I was feeling weaker and weaker. But when I would go to the gym and lift, I would feel really powerful. I'd feel like Superwoman, to say, you know? And I said to myself one day, what does it look like to start eating a better diet that fuels this thing that makes me feel so good? And it wasn't overnight. It wasn't even in a year's time. It took me a long time, a few years actually, to continuously show up in the gym and lift. That was easy. But the eating part and loving myself enough to fuel that training, that took some time, but slowly and surely, I started to see how much more power I had in the gym when I ate food, and I saw this connection of empowering my body through nutrition as well as lifting weights, and that combination together has created who I am today. Someone that loves empowering women to live a fit, fierce, and fabulous lifestyle, and even if it's not weightlifting, because that's what it was for so long, you know, I was like, oh, you got to lift weights, but just seeing how empowered you feel when you move your body and what it feels like to step into that and being able to gift that to someone and get them to go into the gym or get them to go on a hike or get them to do a warrior pose in yoga. Those types of things have brought me to where I am today. But for me, it's lifting weights, lifting heavy, feeling really powerful in the gym and seeing my 5'2" frame just, you know, deadlift. It's pretty freaking cool.
I love everything you said. And there's so many things that you said as well that I can relate to. And I'm not sure what your age is. I'm 48. So like I'm prehistoric. Just kidding.
You're not. I'm 29, but you are not prehistoric.
But well, there's some people that are on the show where, you know, I've never lied about my age and I don't feel, I only say that really sometimes in the context of when I hang around people who are sometimes 25 or 30, there's things that I can remember in my fitness journey that they're like, I'm sorry, I was an embryo when that was out. Like, you know, so I always want to see like get a gauge of where people were at. But I do remember when I was, I'm going to say like college in my 20s, for most of my 20s, and even probably even more recently than that, you were talking about, you were focused on being skinny. You were focused on everything you did for activity in the early days was
burning off what you ate. You know, you had the bulimic eating disorder. I've never had an eating disorder. I can't lie. I remember being so twisted in my mind that I wished because I was too skinny focused when I was younger. All I wanted to do was be skinny. And I have such an hourglass figure that I don't think I could be quote unquote skinny if right. I tried. Even when I had a really bad case of mono in my early 20s and I lost a ton of weight, I had liver problems. I still, you know, I had boobs and butt. I'm a curvy girl. Thank God for like J-Lo and the Kardashians because I fit in. But it back then in those days, it was the goal to be as skinny as possible, to weigh as little as you possibly could on the scale. And remember, even the magazines, I think they're a little better, but like the trash magazines would always talk about, you know, whether it was Lindsay Lohan or Nicole Richie and Jennifer Aniston and how much they weighed and the fact that they were a size like -2.
Yeah.
And then it was like -4. I mean, how can somebody be a negative size? And do you remember those phases?
Yes. And you know what's scary to me is like, why does it matter how much Nicole Richie and Jennifer Aniston weigh? You know, that's what's so mind-blowing to me. It's like everyone's obsessed with what that person weighs. Okay, Nicole Richie's 5'1". So a woman who's 5'7" is never going to weigh what she weighs. Like her bone structure is smaller. Like you just can't do that. And that's what drove me crazy when I was going through this phase is like, I'm 5'2". So I remember going into the gym and signing up for a gym pass and they give you a free personal training session. And I go up to the guy and I'm like, I want to look like Nicole Richie. And I remember pointing my finger at a picture of her when she was like at her skinniest. And I was like, this is what I want to look like. And he was just like, what?
Right.
I mean, yeah, it is.
But I was there too. I remember in college, like wearing back then, if you had a butt, you wore a big blazer with jeans to cover up your butt because the worst thing was you would never like girls around today. If Instagram was popular back then, you would never see somebody posing going, look at my booty. You'd be like, oh, look at my booty. How can I hide it? That was what it was back then. And then it was still 15 years later that I found myself just obsessed with being as skinny as I possibly could. I don't want to say, I don't want to say I was looking to unreasonable. I didn't ever get, sure. you know, disordered. And it doesn't matter. No judgment. It's just no. I didn't get that probably because I like food too much. My whole family. I like to cook it. I like to eat it, whatever. But I never was looking to be sickly. But then sometimes when I think back about who I don't want to say idolized, but I really aspired to look like, it was some of these people who were so probably ridiculously unhealthy on their own. And it's just, I'm glad to see that fitness today, you see more of, and that's what we're going to segue into, is talking about this topic of self-hate. And maybe I want you to define it, because I know when I read that on the discussion, that could be one of the topics we talked about today, I'm like, oh, I deal with this. So I want to hear how you define it. But I do think it's nice to see there's good and bad things about social media. I think one of the good things that I see is with fitness having changed so much, and there's CrossFit and there's figure competition, fitness competition, there's yoga, there's Pilates, there's kickboxing, Zumba, there's everybody has so many choices now and there's so many different body types. And again, I do give credit to Beyonce, to Kim Kardashian, all the Kardashians with their crazy, there's some things going on there that are unnatural. I'm just going to sometimes I'm like, how is that humanly possible? But whatever. It seems that there is more acceptance of all shapes and sizes, and that's good. But there's still a ways to go with media imagery and women still having self-loathing and self-hate issues. I am one of them. I'm working really hard on it. I hear it from my trainer. I hear it from, in a good way, my man friend. He's like, can you maybe buy some jeans that actually fit? Because my jeans are too big. I still see myself as heavier. So when you, as we segue into this topic of body, you know, body acceptance, let me ask you first, how would you define self-hate? Am I going in the right direction
with, oh, totally.
With what I'm kind of platforming or setting this up as?
Yes. Okay. So self-hate can be up to that individual, but
to me and what I've seen in my practice is a woman who aspires to be or look like someone she's not, because you should love what you've been given as your body. You should love your curves. Yes. Should you be healthy? Should you work out? Should you say, hey, it would be nice to have toner arms? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with aspiring to be a better version of yourself, to work on yourself. But when you are looking at yourself in the mirror saying, I want to look like this person, why doesn't my body look this way? Mm. And you're grabbing your stomach and you're grabbing your arms and you're putting doubt and hate into your body by saying it's not enough, that's self-hate to me.
And I think that's probably, sadly, more common than we know. And in fact, it's a topic I want to cover a lot, not only because selfishly, I'm dealing with it. I wish it was a pill I could take and I'm like, yeah, I accept my body. I have such, it's probably body dysmorphia, where I view myself as so huge and so, oh my God, I have a trouble taking a compliment. If somebody says, oh, you know, you're fit, or I wish I had your arms, I immediately go into, and I'm curious if you deal with this with the women that you work with and coach, do you deal with women who you can't give them a compliment because they'll immediately go into all the things that are wrong with themselves?
Oh, and it drives me crazy. And you know what I say is, if someone gives you a compliment, all you need to say is thank you. You don't need to make an excuse as to why they shouldn't be complimenting you. Mm-hmm. You don't need to look down on yourself. Take the compliment in, because as women, we need to show up for one another and compliment one another, because that's what's going to help us all rise. Mm-hmm. But if you don't take that compliment in, all you're doing is telling that person what you just said to me isn't good enough.
That's true.
You're saying, I'm ignoring what you're saying and I don't believe you.
I heard actually in a different context, I believe it was at a Tony Robbins. I went to one of the Tony Robbins.
Oh, don't tell me that. That's my goal. I'm going to see Tony. I do not care what I have to do.
It really was. It was, I was so skeptical of things like that. And then I went, and it really was such a game changer for me in so many ways. And I do encourage people. I think he is exceptional at what he does with those events. And it can be, if you have an open mind, you can really start to change the way you think about things. And it's not, you know, people have such misconceptions. I just in general, people have misconceptions about things they don't understand. And if you go, I was the most skeptical person. My best friend, Amy, said, I'm going to change your life. I've got an extra ticket to Unleash the Power. And I went, I walked on fire. It was awesome.
Oh my gosh.
It was game changing. But he'd said something about when, you know, accepting people doing things for you. And he said, you know, if somebody wants to buy you something or take you out to lunch and you keep insisting on being a martyr, no, don't do that. And so many women can be this way. We don't want to receive, whether it's compliments or someone doing, we want to be the helper. We want to be the people pleaser, but we don't want to accept anything. And he said, do you know what that's doing to the person that's trying to give you something? You're taking away the opportunity from them to give you something.
Yep.
That's not right. Mm-hmm. And I have thought about that. Whereas if somebody's trying to give me something, who am I to say, oh my God, no. Let the, you know, be a receiver and be a giver as well. But with compliments, I am very good at giving other women compliments. I mean, I think sometimes people I'm around are like, Kelly, I mean, I'll go up to anybody in the line at the airport and security. I'll walk up to somebody in a bookstore and I'm like, your hair is fabulous. I love your shoes. You look great. And you can tell so many of these women are not used to being told anything complimentary. Yeah. It is needed, but why is it I still have a problem with somebody saying that to me? I have learned to say thank you, but here's my question for you, Courtney.
All right.
When, because I know you have your own self-hate journey. So,
yes.
So what, share with us what that was for you and what were the things that, when was this like aha moment for you when you realized, because I don't think we can stop self-loathing overnight. It's a process.
No.
But I think for most of us, there's that line in the sand where you finally realize, I have been treating myself like shit and it stops here. Tell us the story, and then when was that moment for you?
That moment for me was the day I got married was the first. So there was
three monumental moments that really shifted this for me. So the first one is the day I got married. I looked myself in the mirror naked, okay, totally naked. And I told myself, I love you. You are so beautiful. And I cried. I cried so hard. I felt this release of all of the, you know, all of the eating disorder that I was letting go of, all of that self-hate I had inside of me. I literally felt it release. That was the first step, was just looking myself in the mirror, eye to eye, and telling myself how much I love myself. The second part was I was starting to fall back into the comparison trap when Instagram became really popular. And I was starting to feel this, I have to show up. Okay, I love these girls. I have to show up and be the next Tone It Up. I have to show up and be the next Blog Lobbies. These girls are amazing. I love what they're doing. But I was putting myself into this box. I have to be these girls to be successful. Mm-hmm. What are they doing? I have to do what they're doing. I have to say what they're saying. And I was so out of alignment with who I am trying to be someone else that that is just as self-sabotaging as my eating disorder, I think. So for me, it was a wake-up call when none of that was working. And I said to myself one day, I was like, I looked at myself again in the mirror because this was just so powerful. You should definitely try this. And I said, why do I feel I'm lacking? And literally in 5 seconds, it became so clear to me that I was not in alignment and being authentic with who I am. And once I saw that, I started to do things every single day that were unique and awesome about me. Listening, I love punk rock music. You know, why was I not sharing that with people? Who cares? Like, this is me. I'm an Orange County girl. I grew up in Orange County. This is what I listen to, you know. Why am I not showing who I am and how I work out? Why am I not showing me? Why am I trying to be someone else? And once I shifted that, then I started to love myself even more. I'm like, I am pretty freaking awesome. Like, and when people are saying, wow, I love what you're doing and you're being you and you're being true to you. And as you're starting to accept that, you're starting to say, thanks so much. I'm so glad that resonated with you. You know, and leaving it at that, this confidence starts to build within you. And you're like, wow, it is cool being me. It is awesome being me. Why would I want to be anybody else?
You know, you just, when you said that, something struck me because I know how a lot of women think. I know I've had these thoughts where even when my trainer has been pointing out to me, you know, about my posture, you know, I have big boobs. And so I've always tended to kind of hunch over because why? I thought, well, I can't stand up straight. I'm sticking my boobs out. Like, this is what I was born with. And why should I try to, it's, I mean, and even that is creating this mental attitude inside that you're not even aware of going, I'm not good enough. I need to hide my body from people because God forbid I stick my chest out and walk with what mama gave you. Like walking around hunched over, you know, having this body posture of being ashamed. And a lot of women will think that confidence equals cockiness. And there's a big difference. If when I think, as I'm hearing you talk, and then I was thinking of, I don't know why, because I probably because I'm looking at this picture of you, this great picture of you on your website. You've got so many.
Thank you.
Just adorable. You've got great hair. I mean, I could go on.
Thank you. See? Thank you.
Yeah. Very good. See? And so I'm thinking of you, and you make me kind of think at this, at one of these photos of Gabrielle Bernstein, and I'm thinking of, you know, her books. I'm thinking, we just talked about Tony Robbins. Think about all the people, whoever it is that you might read, or if you listen to a podcast, I'm thinking of Ali Brown. I was just listening to one of her podcasts. The people, whether it's a woman or a man that I look up to, that I learn from, they are all, is there anybody that you respect, that you learn from, that you want to, you know, drink in everything that they have, and they're helping you change your life for the better in any area, that doesn't have absolute confidence? Do you buy a book from someone who's like, well, thanks, I appreciate it, it's not really that great?
No.
And do
hell
you
no.
Right? I mean, and you don't, if you go to Tony Robbins, Tony Robbins doesn't walk out on stage and go, hey guys, thanks for stopping in. I think what I have is pretty good. No, he's out like, dude, I am amazing. Look at Muhammad Ali. I mean, I don't think we think enough about this, that confidence comes with, you know, the people that have confidence worked hard to get it. It doesn't mean they're perfect. It Mm-mm. doesn't mean they're a jag, because if they're doing something and you're putting money down for it, that's a good thing. They're helping people. So confidence should not be avoided. Do you tend to see that in a lot of women you
mentioned
that you work with, that they think confidence is, that's a bad thing?
Yes, with women especially. I mean, I'm going to turn it to the media here. And I think that with the media, they're always telling us we're not good enough so that we buy their products. And I think that that is, so I teach a EFT tapping, emotional freedom technique.
Really?
Yes, because that's what got me as confident as I am today. And I'm still working through some things. You know, you're always working, you're always growing. But I had to tap out of my head and out of my body and out of my cell structure that I don't need anything more than myself, my brain, and my body to be the best version of myself. And once I saw that, then yes, I'd read personal development books and I love watching webinars and doing all that, but I know that I'm enough and that I don't need anything else. And everything else that I do choose to invest in, i.e. my education or a face mask or Botox, whatever, is my choice, but I don't need it to be confident. I don't need it to show up with my message. I don't need it to have a business. I don't need any of that. I just need myself, and the rest is extra. And once you start seeing that, you see that you are freaking awesome and you have so much to bring to the table. And once you own that, oh man, you're unstoppable.
It's so true. On a side note, you and I'm totally following up with you about if you have that as a service, the whole EFT, I've heard great things about that.
Yeah. So how I run my business is I do a couple programs a year. So I used to do all the things, hashtag all the things. And I decided, we all are in this day and age. And I decided this year, you know, I have a coaching practice one-on-one that I do my EFT tapping with clients, but I also have like my group program that I really, really promote. And that's all I promote. So if someone asks me like, hey, I'd love to work with you and do this, then of course I have room for that. But you know, I'm promoting my mastermind right now, which I actually just filled up. So I'm excited about that.
Oh, very, that's very awesome. Excited.
Yeah. But I love working with women and teaching them this practice because it's locked inside of you, this belief. And once you start to see that you're enough, like I said, you know, I love makeup. I love fake eyelashes. Like you see me, I love getting my hair done. It's nothing to be ashamed of, but I don't feel like I need those things to be enough in the world to do what I'm meant to do. That's the difference.
There's also a big difference because a lot of people who have known me for quite a while, maybe they know me on social media or they've known me in my work life. And, you know, sometimes down the road, we'll have a deeper conversation something will come up where, you know, usually it's, we're talking about fitness and I'll share, oh my God, you know, I'm deep inside. And again, this is something I'm working on. So I know it's not going to, I'm getting better and better, but I'll just share, like, I don't think you get it. I am so insecure about, you know, I'm not confident. And everyone has always said to me when I have this conversation with them, they'll go, wow, I never would have thought that you were not just the most secure, confident person in the world. So it's definitely a bridge between, you know, you can be by all purposes on the outside and appearances, if you will. Somebody might think you're confident. You can have it all together. You can look the part. But inside, if you are dealing on a daily basis with, you know, beating yourself up, filled with self-loathing, and the conversation in your mind, if it's constantly picking yourself apart, what's wrong with me? How much do I, what size am I not? How bad do I look? It's going to affect every part of your life. And when you start to finally, and I think this might be a good place to wrap up because we're getting close to our time, but number two things, you have to be back on the show. I have to talk to you about EFT.
Yes.
I also want to have you back I'm doing a series on this show as well. I want to interview women in health and wellness who have developed their own business and are really loving what they do. I'm doing this series because I think pursuing your passion is a great, fantastic way to decrease stress, improve financial stability, and that's going to affect your health and your wellness, obviously. Mm-hmm. Stress is such a killer. Financial stress is such a killer. And so when more women like yourself doing great things and loving what you do, I think that's fantastic. So we definitely have to have you back on that show. But my question for you is with, you know, as we close up the show, and I hope that I can articulate this the right way.
Okay.
So women are filled with, you know, so many of us with this self-loathing, right? And we're constantly picking ourselves apart. And so many of us, we don't even realize that we're picking ourselves apart. And I think awareness is obviously the first step. But for so many of the women that are out there, you know, you've worked with so many, I'm working on this with myself. What's like step one that any woman who's listening can start to do that's going to change the way they talk to themselves, the way that they, is it, hey, I mean, like, what would be maybe
this is my favorite thing. Yes.
Okay,
my
good.
Favorite thing. Okay. So there's three things, like you said, top three takeaways. So the very first thing I want everyone who's listening to this episode to do, even if you feel like you're super confident, is to take 20 minutes, light a candle, make yourself a cup of tea, and write a letter of awesome. Write a letter of how awesome you are and all the awesome things you've done in your life, all the awesome friends that say all these nice things about you, anything that's awesome in your life, write it down and make sure you spend at least 20 minutes doing this. It's a long, it's hard, but once you read that paper back to yourself, oh man, that writing a letter of awesome has changed my life.
Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now.
I think we all need to do it. Like, there's times that in my business, you know, as a business owner, there's things that are up, there's things that are down. That's just the way it is. If I start feeling like I'm getting drained and I'm starting to feel like, you know, maybe I've tapped out my creative juices and I need to tap them back in, I literally write a letter of awesome and I read it to myself and I'm like, whoa, I feel really good right now. And literally it picks me right back up.
It's true. I haven't done that exercise, but when I finally allowed it, it truthfully was, I was interviewed on, and she's going to be on this show. Eleanor Beaton, interviewed me for her podcast and somebody played back like the intro. I think she tagged me in something on Instagram and I swear to God, it was me reading what somebody else put down as my intro. And the way she described me and what I'd done in my business and what I'd achieved, I thought she was talking about someone else. And I had this moment of, oh my God, I have so underestimated myself. I've so downplayed. I've so played small. That's a great book. My whole life. And I finally, it was being interviewed by her that I finally started to look at myself as, you know what? I am kind of a big deal. I'm not the only big deal, but God has given me talents mm-hmm. and I have done something that has made a great impact on a lot of lives. And there should be no reason why I shouldn't be damn proud of that.
Yep.
And that was really a turning point for me. I think this letter of awesome, I love this idea because too many women, we don't think we should give ourselves a compliment. We don't think we should, we think it's bragging to be confident. And ladies, I have to tell you, this shift in my attitude has changed everything. for me, for my business, for my life, for my social life, for everything. And it doesn't mean that you're walking around being a selfish braggart.
Nope.
It just means that you've got to start putting yourself first, because when you put yourself first and you become a better person, you can do more and be more for others. That sounds a little cliche, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. Totally. And you got to value yourself, your skills, your education, your core values, your body. You have to value yourself. And once you can do that, other people are going to value you more. You're going to shine brighter, and you're going to be able to show up at such a larger level that you're not even going to know what to do with yourself. You're like, this is amazing. But you got to own your value. You got to own your worth. And you got to stand in that mind frame of, I am enough. Simple.
I love that. Oh my gosh. I can't wait to have you back on the show. I think you and I need to just like map this out. And for sure, you're going to be, Vegas is one of the places we're going to take the Fitfluential Radio thing on the road. And Vegas is going to be one of our places, because my dear friend, Danielle, who used to be our CMO at Fitfluential, she's out there. She has her own business. It's amazing. And she's going to be on the show too. And I'm getting all over the place. But yeah, I think we have a lot to talk about. And this is a topic I want to address, because it is almost more transformative, I think, than anything you can do as far as diet or exercise, is starting this work within to embrace who you are, appreciate who you are, be your own unique self, and become self-aware, become truly self-confident. You will serve more people. You will have, you'll find your purpose for being here when you stop beating yourself up. And too many of us are doing it. And again, we're going to have you back on the show, but ladies, this is just my way. For some reason, as I'm listening to you talk, Courtney, that really struck me as a great, it's not a metaphor, but just a way to drive this point home. For everybody listening, whoever it is that you look up to, again, you know, I mentioned like Gary Vee, a dear friend of mine, he was on the show. If it's Tone It Up Girls, whoever, if it's Valerie Waters, if it's Tony Robbins, if it's Michael Hyatt, I mean, I could keep naming all the people that I look up to, that I learn from in myriad ways, right? My trainer, who's made such an impact on my life. The people that I trust, that I adore, that I listen to, that I learn from, they all have self-awareness and self-confidence, and I don't look at them in any bad way because of that. So why shouldn't we all aspire to do the same thing for ourselves and for others? So just think about that as you're listening to the end of the show that I went way over on, as usual. So Courtney, for those that are listening to you and probably are picking up on your awesome vibe and want to find you online, where can they find you online?
So you can find me at Courtney Violet Bentley. So Bentley like the car, what up? .com. I'm also on Instagram at Courtney Bentley _. And then check out my podcast, Fit, Fierce, and Fabulous. And Kelly, you have to come on, BTW. We're going to set that up if you'd like to be on my show. So yeah, those are the places to find me, and check me out, see what I'm up to.
Awesome. Well, I sincerely thank you for being on the show. This was a true joy, and I mean that. I really enjoyed talking with you. I for sure want to have you back on. I have ideas that I'm going to follow up with you on after we finish today. For everybody listening, if you have any questions, of course, we'll link up to everything and to Courtney's sites as well in the show notes at fitfluentialradio.com. If you have any questions that we can pass on, of course, we encourage you to reach out to Courtney directly. But if you have any questions that you'd like us to cover, in future chats, the Courtney and Kelly chats that are going to be coming up, you can email us at podcast@fitfluential.com. And again, thanks everybody for tuning in. Until next time, have a great rest of the week and start putting yourself first.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace!
Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.